across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
What? No one has ever told. We've journeyed far, but I know it won't be long. We're almost there. We beat our fan with a whole song. Maybe tomorrow, yeah. I wanna
Friday, I got the Friday feeling right up my jacksie.
I'll just keep moving on.
It's that song about a dog detective that goes around saving people.
Just grab your head, come
anyone phones up tonight and pretends this is the theme tune to a TV series, Instaban.
They wouldn't be allowed to make such a thing.
Of course not.
Because he'd be fouling the pavements, he'd be impregnating other dogs, it'd be awful.
Gay Dogs is the name of my new band, and I'm looking for musicians. I'm Ian Lee, by the way. I stole some strawberries on a reality TV show and got paid very handsomely for it. You are?
Sophia Loren.
And what? Who are you, boy?
Sam, answer the phones.
There we go. That's it. I knew I recognised that voice. I'm starting a band. We're called the Gay Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on bass. Good evening, dear listener. Brexit free zone tonight. Political free zone tonight. Let's make it a fun zone tonight.
Fancy free.
Hashtag, do use the hashtags. Really keen on the hashtags. Hashtag TLNA, the late night alternative. Very exciting for me. A dream came true today.
Would you like me to ask you about that?
Please do.
Tell me about that dream.
I touched a booby. No. I did tell a gentleman where he could get some poussoir, but I was parked up in my car. Just around the corner from work, and I had Kath on speakerphone, and she was driving in, and she said, oh, I'm 10 minutes away. I said, I'll wait for you. She was on speakerphone, and we were chatting. And my window opened, and then I started singing, what was I singing? Grease Lightning or something. And this very drunk guy, late 20s, walked, sort of staggered past me. This is at 8 o'clock in the evening. Staggered past me, and then came back and went, I say, sir. And so I went, yes, sir. Good evening to you, sir. And I said, you are under arrest, sir. Handcuff me now, sir. He was absolutely steaming. He's about 28. And we were chatting for a bit, and then he said, and I'm going to use foul language. Excuse me, sir. Do you know where I might get some of the old pussy?
At which point, I've been silent up to that point. I went, bloody hell.
Then this guy, right, sticks his head full in my window and goes, oh, no, madam, no, don't listen to this private conversation. He's just a normal bloke.
Interrupting my bloody conversation with his flipping Tom Dickory.
And I said, I think you can get some down there, mate, so off you go.
I told you should not have indicated that he was entitled to any.
I did not in any way indicate entitlement. I indicated get away from me, mint. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. I thought we'd do something slightly different, certainly for the first part of the show. In the way this works normally, it's a phone-in show, unlike any other phone-in show in the world. We celebrate the positive. We celebrate the light, the life, the love, the funny, the ridiculous, the small, the micro. And we try and stay away from politics. Sometimes we go into it and some people go, oh, I thought you didn't do politics. Well, we do it when I fancy it. It's my show. Mine and Cass' show. We do it when we fancy it. You don't like it? Jog on. But we tend to have a life, and we tend to have a laugh, and we talk a little bit about mental health as well. So, you know, we are what I believe could be called a safe zone, unless you're a bellend, and then it's a very, very unsafe zone, as you'll be called out for your bellendery. But the way it works, right, normally, is you dial the number 0344 499 1000. You'll speak to the young man, Sam. He takes your name and number, doesn't even ask you what you want to talk about. And he calls you straight back, puts you on. I have a screen in front of me. It's a computer system called PhoneBox, and it shows 10 lines, and I can see who's called in and how long they've been waiting for. And I then kind of put them through. I've got two lines I can drag calls to, and I've got two faders. Well, I thought tonight, and we have done this before, tonight I have switched off my computer screen, my PhoneBox. So I don't know who's called in. I know the first caller because I saw it as we were coming up with the plan. So I know the first caller. But after that, I don't know who's called up. I also don't know, Catherine, and this is the slightly risky part. Risky, you know, no one's going to die as a result of it. So it's not really a risk. I also want to know if anybody's called up. We could have a full switchboard. We could, apart from this one caller, unless he's fallen asleep. Have you fallen asleep yet, Alan?
No, not yet, boss.
Okay. It's the only one I know. Because, sorry, and, you know, it's just gone 10 o'clock. But apart from that, I won't know if we've got any callers or not, and I will, at various points, I might have the faders open, I might put the... So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You up for that, boy, Lee?
Oh, so up for it.
But are you up for that, dear listener?
Doesn't really matter. We're doing it anyway.
03444991000. We saw him calling in. Let's get that first cab off of the rank, despite what he said about us last week. It's Alan Caddy.
Hey, boss. Hi, Cap.
Excuse me. Pardon me. A little bit windy.
Yeah, a bit windy pop.
No, kids don't do this anymore.
You're doing it wrong. He goes,
Me, Donald, you capo.
Oh, that's, okay, yeah, okay. Was he, what age was Tarzan, Lord of Greystoke, dropped off in the jungle? Was he a bebe?
Bebe.
It was bebes, okay, so that's
why he's... I think that film was made in 1985, wasn't it?
Well, hang on a second.
So that would have made him...
A bebes. Hang on a second, though. If he got dropped off as a bebes in the jungle...
Yeah.
Right, we're now questioning, we're 10 minutes in and we're now trying to unpick the Tarzan legend. Is it a legend or is it just a story?
Story, innit?
Okay. If he got
probably true.
If he got dropped off as based, it's inspired by real events. If he got,
Mike the Monkey Boy.
If he got dropped off as a bebez in the jungle,
yeah.
How could he then say, me Tarzan, you Jane? Because monkeys don't say that. Also, what was Jane doing in the jungle? Dirty mare. Isn't it funny? I've judged Jane, but yet I'm calling Tarzan a hero.
Why isn't she allowed to explore the jungle?
The patriarchy. Mm-hmm. It exists even in the monkey kingdom.
I think very simply, he got to an age, obviously, where he was beginning to speak, and so he had some words.
That's not how language works. Well, it inherent in his DNA was English.
Well, he was already talking as a toddler.
Alan. This is part of your... I'm mentoring you, Alan, throughout life.
I'm listening.
Catherine has just dropped what we call in the trade a bollock, right? She's contradicted her own argument. What has she just said in that little piece there that completely blows her argument out of the water, my friend?
Tarzan was learning to talk from an early age, even though he was raised by monkeys and monkeys don't talk.
Well, yeah. Shut up, because actually, you're assuming he was a tiny babe in arms and he wouldn't have survived that. It was very unlikely. Mm-hmm. He would have had to have some rudimentary movement to be able to be...
No!
Otherwise, he'd still be in the place where he was left. How would he learn to walk?
Okay, well, first of all, Moses was left in... Moses was a bebez, and he managed to float down a river. He drove a boat. He was driving boats as a bebez. But secondly, you did originally agree with me that... don't Google it.
I'm not. I'm writing notes down.
Get off the Google, Cat.
I'm not on Google. Mind your own business.
We've got her in...
Don't be sexist.
Alan's always sexy.
Might be a bum bag.
Okay. But now you're being homophobic.
I'm not.
Right. I'm not bumming in a bag. Not again. But... Everybody just cool out, okay? We're just trying to unpick Tarzan,
I will if I want.
Maybe we'll do a Brexit phone-in. I think it will be safer. You agreed he was a bebez,
right? Yeah, but what's your definition of a baby?
You know what a baby is. Jesus, you know what a baby is.
I would say that a 2-year-old is a baby.
No, you would. Well,
I would.
I would say that a 20-year-old killed as a victim of knife crime is a baby.
Exactly.
Right, but for this conversation, we mean an actual bebez.
We should have established that before.
Well, we have.
I'm not on
and
board
you
that,
say a bebez... It would have died in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
No, because the monkey scooped down and picked mummy monkey, who had lost a baby in the monkey wars, scooped down and picked up the baby.
Do you think that monkey...
Planet of the Apes.
Do you think that we could survive on monkey milk?
Yeah, of course you could. Monkeys are like... Well, here's the thing. This is actually true. First fact of the evening. We are closer, humans... are closer genetically to cows than they are to monkeys.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, now you know it. We are something like 0.1% DNA different from a cow, and we're something like 3% DNA different from a monkey. So in answer to your question, yes, of course we could survive on cow's milk. It's like drinking our own
monkey milk
juice. Yeah, it's the same thing. I would suck.
That's completely different.
If
what you've just argued is we could survive on cow's milk, but not on monkey milk, because we're completely different from a monkey.
Here's the thing.
Anyway, we're talking about apes.
If
which are different from monkeys.
If I was lost in the jungle and I was thirsty, I would suck off a monkey.
Yeah, but it's not about
for its milk.
It's not about being thirsty. If we're talking about a baby, which is your idea.
It's not, Tarzan is not my idea.
No, but the fact that he's a tiny baby, Tarzan, which is not something I would agree with.
Yes.
Then he would need proper nutrition.
Mm.
Now, if my baby couldn't thrive on my milk and I'm a human, how could baby Tarzan thrive on a chimp?
I see. It's all about your deficiencies as a woman.
I'm just saying that babies are very, very fragile things.
We
and baby milk is a very interesting combo.
We got there.
And ape's milk would not be compatible.
The reason Catherine does not like Tarzan
is because Tarzan.
She is unable to produce good milk from her boobies. Am I close?
Wow.
Yeah.
How have you turned this on me?
You turned it on Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. Oh!
That's a bit better, but it's still not as good as mine.
That was weird. Thanks, Alan. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Gosh, Matthew Parris is leaving the Conservatives and going Lib Dem.
Gosh.
That's unusual. Okay. Who named him Tarzan? And also the arrogance, right? Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. That's outrageous. The monkeys came and picked him up, looked after him, milked him, fed him milk, I mean. And then he goes, me better than monkey. Me be Lord of Jungle. Tarzan.
I think other people called him the Lord. I don't think he claimed
the crown. He made the monkeys his B1 TCHs. It's humanity. It's an allegory for humanity, going right up the Swanee.
And why did he call that chimp Cheetah?
Well, because he found him with another. I found him with another man. I don't know if there are any callers. I haven't got my screen on. Sam is putting calls through as and when they come in. If you hear me say hello, that means you're on the air. Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Who's that?
Yana.
Yama?
Yana with an A. N.
Okay, hello, Yama. I only question it because I was expecting some boring old regular. have we spoken before, Yama?
No, we haven't. No, this is my second call to your radio station.
Well, you've called the good show. You found
I have called the good show. I have to say, you are so cheering me up.
Oh.
I've just been finishing reading Douglas Murray's The Madness of Crowds. And then you come on with all your wonderful un-PC chatter, and it just made me feel so good.
What's now that book? I don't know that book, but it sounds very, very heavy, man.
It is heavy, man.
Aye.
But written in a very, very easy way.
Okay, yep. I like things written in an easy way.
Not hard at all.
No,
but I don't know if I'm sad or something, but I find that, like, your show has become my best friend.
Well, I mean, yes, of course that's sad and pathetic, and you should probably get medical help, but we're not going to argue. What do you mean by that, Yama?
Well, because I spend so much time on my own, I'm a carer for my granddaughter who doesn't speak at all. She's 8 years old and she's got a disability.
Right.
And so I spend most of my days conversing with a non-verbal human being. So listening to talk radio just gives me people who talk, and I can sort of think answers and then sort of talk back in my head. I know it sounds odd.
No, it doesn't sound odd. Do you? Because I do that. The older I get, I don't really watch much TV anymore, but when I do, now that I'm you know, 46, I will shout at the TV like my mum and dad used to when I was a kid. And also the radio, I will sit there and I will talk to the radio and I will argue with the radio. Is that the same thing?
It's the same thing,
brilliant.
But I have to say that talk radio mostly tends to agree.
Not all the shows,
no. but a lot of them, yeah.
Okay.
But I just want to say thank you, guys, you know. You cheer me up.
Hey, well, listen, that's very kind. Thank you very much. Does your granddaughter live with you, or does she go?
Just me and her together. We live together.
And
her mum has emigrated to abroad.
And left her behind.
Left her behind. Well, she's sorting things out. You know, it's hard to take a very disabled child abroad if you haven't got a job or anywhere to live. So she's gone away. Probably be there for 6 months to a year, and then hopefully get to. But yeah,
that must be hard. That must be hard for everybody involved there. Her, you, and your granddaughter.
It isn't for my daughter because she knows that Kitty loves being with me.
Right.
So Skype each other and she can see that she's all right. But it is tough. You know, it's not easy.
Did you say your granddaughter's name was Kitty?
Yeah.
What a great name. I love the name Kitty.
Well, her mother called her Ekaterina after Kitty in Anna Karenina.
Oh, there you go, you see. Well, yeah. Very well-read family. And is she regular at going to bed? Is she one of those kids? Because I've got 7 and 9, and I know sometimes they don't want to go to bed. Sometimes they'll wake up and they'll want to go. Is she good at, she goes to bed at a certain time and she stays asleep, or does she?
Yeah, she goes to bed at a regular time. She normally wakes up about 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh.
Every morning.
And is that it for the day then, or does she go back to sleep?
I don't think she does. I go back to sleep. I put on a program for her.
Okay.
I try and go back to sleep. But there have been studies done on these kids. She's got Angelman syndrome, and she's the worst sleeper out of the whole bunch. So
what was that syndrome? I don't know that.
Angelman syndrome.
Angelman's. What's that?
She's got the gene missing in her brain. It's a genetic condition.
Right.
It's missing from the mother's gene, so she has Angelman. If it was missing from the father's, she would have Prader-Willi syndrome, which is a totally different
thing. Okay, now I've heard of Prader-Willi, but so yeah. how does this Angelman syndrome affect Kitty?
Well, she's, as I say, non-verbal.
Yeah.
So she can't communicate. She has very awkward gait. It used to be called the happy puppy puppet syndrome. So they're very smiley, happy kids. They're always laughing. And very, very severe learning, learning this. So she's 8, but she's about 18 months.
Okay.
Something like that.
And how, and you're caring for her 24 hours a day. Do you get any respite?
I'm working on it.
Right.
It takes time.
Doesn't it?
Really. Yeah, yeah. It's not easy. I mean, you know, the social services are great. But it takes a long time to get into the system.
It does. So do you get any breaks?
No, not at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah, but I do other stuff. I mean, I've been on television.
Whoa, hang on a second.
Yeah.
No, you're about to brush past that. We will not allow that. What have you done on what have you done on the telly?
I was on Kirsty's Handmade Christmas, and I won the gingerbread house competition.
Hey, well, now what is that? I have heard of that, but what is that?
Every Christmas,
yeah.
Kirsty Allsop does a show, and I think it's 10 episodes.
Yeah, I know the show, the gingerbread house competition. What's that?
4 people build a gingerbread house, and a judge picks a winner.
And did you win?
I did.
Yes, man!
Do you think I'd have mentioned it if I hadn't won?
Oh, well done. That must have been fun.
It was fun. I made a St. Basil's Cathedral out of gingerbread.
My God, that's incredible.
I made a house once, and that was hard enough.
Did you not burn yourself with that horrible glue and all that stuff?
Oh, no, Asimov. That's the way to go.
Right.
Yeah.
And is Kitty... well enough, present enough to, for example, if you showed her that video of you on the telly, would she know that was you? And
she might recognize me, but she wouldn't really know what was going on.
Right, okay.
I mean, she loves actually she does love shows, and she loves
what's her favorite?
Theater. She likes the old Willy Wonka, not the new one.
Oh, yeah, good. No, well done. Even the scene on the boat, because that scene on the boat is horrible.
She loves that.
Really?
She loves scary things.
Oh, okay. She's got a dark side. I like this. That's interesting.
She does, definitely. She loves scary things. Witches. She likes witches.
I'm just looking at your gingerbread house.
Oh, are you?
Kath's just found it. My God, how long did that take?
That's incredible.
That's ridiculously good.
Not only to get the shape right, but also all that intricate icing work. Flipping, eh, Jana? That's incredible.
That was meringue.
Wow.
I don't know why I'm finding that so funny, but that is... How long did that take?
Well, it was over 100 pieces. So in the show, I had to build it in 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go on. Well, that is amazing. Go on, tell me. So Kitty likes scary things.
She likes scary things. She loves musicals. I got her to watch the whole of Singing in the Rain, and she liked that. And she loves Peppa Pig and, you know. But, yeah, she really, really responds to music and theatre.
So
we try and take her to the theatre. You know, watching like children's theatre.
Yeah, I've so enjoyed talking to you. Thank you so much for calling. You will call again, won't you?
I'd love to. Thank you.
And send our love to Kitty.
Thank you very much for cheering me up. I will.
Absolute pleasure. We'll have a great weekend and we'll speak soon.
Cheers. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Oh, this is turning into a delightful little experiment of not knowing who's coming up. That was fantastic. That cake, that gingerbread house is amazing. Gosh, what a situation. Didn't we learn a lot about that family and the sacrifices that both she... You're not saying looking after a kid is a sacrifice, but there will be sacrifices in looking after a child who has issues such as Kitty's got. And the sacrifice the mum has had to make to go, imagine, Kath, leaving one of your girls.
I know.
Or leaving your girls behind so you could go and look for work and look at getting a better life for them. Imagine. Good for them. Oh, yeah, no, I love that. Thank you very much indeed. I don't know if there's anyone there. I'm just going to say hello and see if anyone says hello back. Hello.
Good evening.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, it's Elton.
Nelson?
Elton.
Elton. Oh, hey. Yeah. Oh, Elton, hello, mate. Sorry, I didn't recognise you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Yeah, very, very good indeed. I just thought I'd bring up, I haven't anything to contribute to the show at all.
Neither does Catherine, but she gets paid.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I just wanted to just phone and say I have nothing to contribute. I haven't really got an opinion on anything.
Oh.
And nothing to say at all. Which I thought would be something to add a bit of depth to the show.
I think this is a burn.
So, that's it. Nothing at all.
Okay, Elton, well, shall we end it there?
Well, yes.
Okay. But still... contributed a lot more than some of our callers do.
Yeah. Can't help feeling a little bit hurt, but...
What's that for, my darling? What's wrong, baby?
Well, first of all, you said that...
Oh, yeah.
Did you
just call
me baby?
Oh, yeah, baby. I'm Austin Powers, baby. Oh, yeah, baby. I'm Austin Powers, baby. And I'm going to go shagadelic with Liz Hurley and then Beyonce.
Ow!
What was that for?
You can pack that in as soon as you like.
Spot on, well
call
done.
Call me baby again and I'll kick you in the cojones. I won't really.
Well, I've had some lovely DMs today on Twitter.
Have you?
Shane Ritchie's invited us to go and see his play, The Entertainer, next week in Bromley. And Ian Dale's invited me out for lunch.
Nice.
It's nice. I like Ian. Because waiting for you, I listened to Any Questions on Radio 4 and Ian Dale was on there. And so I just messaged him and said, I'm really enjoying Any Questions. And I've mentioned you a couple of times on the show recently as an example of how two people who are politically opposite can get on with each other. And people, you know, seem to think that we should hate each other because of that. And he said, that's bizarre. Let's have a very public lunch then on him. Good. He's loaded after the election. By the way, this is Talk Radio. This is your erection station.
Will you have to have it underneath his massive portrait of Maggie Thatch?
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that. I love Ian Dale. I like Ian Dale. It's that thing we've been saying, that everything has to be polarised now, partly because of Twitter, but politics and everything. We can talk about politics for the next three or four days, I think. But everything has to be polarised, and I have to hate you because you're different to me, and it's not. I like him. He's a nice guy. Makes me laugh.
The point being, it's not all he is.
No.
And unfortunately, a lot of people have become kind of, what would you call it?
Twats.
Parodies of themselves.
Parodies of themselves. That's better. Probably better term.
Caricatures themselves.
There we go.
So if you support this team, this football team, you have to hate X, Y, and Z because that's what you do because that is the form. And it's bullshine.
Bullshine. 03444991000. We're doing the show a little bit differently today. Ah, Simon says, can we have an entire hour of your faultless Austin Powers impression?
Oh, baby, we'll see about that one night, shall we? I'll get my good friend Liz Hurley to tickle my balls. Shagadelic, baby.
I'm gonna, you know, there's a series of films based on his life.
Yes.
So I'm gonna watch those at some point. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm thinking.
They've been out a while.
I might, see if I can mock up an Austin Powers costume. Shouldn't have said that on the air. Everyone will be doing it now.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have questioned the veracity of Tarzan. Mm-hmm. We have poo-pooed Mowgli and his book De la Jungle. And that's...
Romulus and Remus probably bowls as well.
Yeah, we go. That's 40 minutes of utter nonsense. We get very well paid for this.
But we did get to the bottom of the bare necessities.
We did. I didn't know what it meant. I thought it was a song listing things that bears needed to survive in the jungle. Didn't realise it meant, like, you don't... What does it mean?
Just look for the bare necessities.
Like honey and a scratching tree.
Yeah. You don't need loads of stuff.
Look, Sam's grabbing his microphone. It means he wants to come in on this. Come in, Sam. Come on.
I was just moving the microphone.
Closer to your mouth. Why would you do that?
Out of sight, because it's in my line of sight to a screen.
I swear what's going into you. What did you think the bare necessities was about?
You look for the least amount of stuff you need to live.
And it will make you happy.
Exactly.
Why did he say to live like that?
I don't know.
Is he mocking me?
I feel a bit.
There was a mocking tone, wasn't there?
He is a bit, yeah.
The thing is, he's fitter than me, so I'm not going to get into a smackdown with him. But
he's not been well though, so he's weakened substantially.
Yeah, that's true. I have no screen in front of me. We thought we'd kind of close it for a bit and see what happens. So I don't know if anyone's there, but if you hear me say hello, then do say hello back. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there was someone there. Hello. Who's this? Who this?
Hello, it's Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello.
What's Bob short for?
Got little legs.
Bobby's
short for Bobby.
Bobby's short for Bobby, yeah.
Hello.
I've got a bit of an interesting one for you today. I was in a bit of a predicament on the way home.
Yes, Bobby. Do you prefer Bobby or Bob?
Or Bobbit.
Just call me Bob. Yeah, or Bobbit. I don't mind whichever. As long as it's not a swear, we're all right.
Okay, so Bollock Bob is out. Because that is the swear.
Bobby baby.
Okay, we're not going to go there.
The Bobatola. Yeah. The Bobatola. Apple Bobber.
If you...
Bobber Job.
Bobber Job. Anything else you want to say? Bob the Summer? Bob the Builder?
Bob the Builder's
like
a...
Bob
the
Bob.
Builder's a good one. I like that.
Bits and Bobs.
Bobba Dobba Doodah.
A Bob Bobba Loodah. A what? Bamboom.
I think we're done now, Bob. Away you go.
You reckon? No, I've got something to say.
God, no, that's what I'm saying. I think me and Kath are done with the Bob names.
Oh, you guys have...
Who put the Bob in the Bob?
You know.
Okay, so let's hear what you see. Now, Bobby has got an interesting story for us. So let's...
Go ahead, Bobbit.
Looking forward to this.
Okay, here we go.
Yes,
right,
sir.
So I was in a bit of a predicament today. I've got a bit of a cold, but I went into work.
Tough guy, huh?
And on the way home...
Sorry, this isn't the Pride of Britain, if that's who you think you've called.
No, it's all right.
I can put you in touch with Carol Vorderman.
No, we're all right.
We are.
So, yeah.
Can I just do a little side note?
Go on.
We were watching something today, and a kid on the telly had got a Pride of Britain award, and my kids looked at me and went, oh, they're real then? We just thought it was what you said we were in line for when we'd had some sort of hardship, like having the computer turned off.
That was, introduction was brought to you by, interruption was brought to you by Catherine Boyle, but now we're going to go back to the show's main sponsor,
Bobbit.
Okay, here we go.
Bobbity Lee.
Bobbity Boo.
Okay.
Bobbalobbalob.
I like that. Blub-blub-blub-blub-blub.
It's your Bobby.
That's a bit like farting in the bathtub, isn't it? When the kid farts in the bathtub, blub-blub-blub-blub-blub.
Why do you hire kids to fart in your bathtub? That's weird.
I don't hire anybody, I'm just saying.
Okay. Do you have kids?
No.
So who are these kids that are farting in your bathtub? If you're not hiring them, that means you're getting them for free and you should be paying them.
This is taking a dark turn.
You're a child kidnapper.
What?
Okay. You just keep them clean.
I've seen on Harry Hill.
You see dirty kids out in the street, you kidnap them, clean them, and then return them to the parents. Still weird. Still could be traumatic, Bob.
Why has it got to this conversation?
I don't know, mate.
You
rang up and told me. Just confessed and said that you kidnapped dirty children to bathe them. Make them fart in the bath to get your kicks. People like, you make me puke. You're why I voted Brexit. What would you have to say, Bobbit?
All right.
You went to work with a cold.
Okay, so
like Clint Eastwood.
Pardon?
Like Rocky, like Neil Armstrong. He went to work with a cold.
Well done,
guy.
Champ.
Yeah. Okay. So monthly, I think.
I think they have done. Yeah. Well, I've been on an aeroplane, so yeah, man flew then.
There you go.
Thanks.
Oh dear, no.
Anyway, so
I was coming.
We've been hanging out too long. We've got to stop meeting like this, Catherine. please.
You know what I mean? Okay. Look. So I was driving home, and obviously the missus makes chapati and curry.
Obviously.
It was a bit. Obviously, you know, Asian families and stuff.
Racist.
So I was thinking, do I really want chapati and curry when I get home?
Oh, God.
I do now.
Can't stand Indian food, which is tough if you're an Indian.
Fish. Well, it's even worse, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, so I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. And I thought, what should I get? A few ideas went through my head. And in the end, do you know what I settled on? The school dinner's favourite. Cast your mind back to school dinner.
Spotted dick.
What was your favourite? No.
Oh, school dinners. So I thought you meant the headmaster's office.
Just go down that road.
What was your favourite? Chip butty?
Nope. Come on.
Well, I've just told you,
shepherd's pie or something?
No. Listen, chunky chips.
Yeah.
Fish fingers and beans.
Beautiful. Oh, we call that kids' tea.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I sat there, had two rounds, and you know what? Brought back so many memories.
Where did you go and do this? In this school that you were kidnapping dirty children from?
No. I actually went to a shop, I don't know if I could say the name of the retailer.
Why would you not be allowed to say the name of the retailer?
Because he's been banned from there, and they've said they don't want to be associated with him. He bought too much soap. They got suspicious.
The box was too big, so I had to take them out and put them in places one by one. But there you go, 50 fingers can be done.
What was the name of this retailer?
Sainsbury's.
You can't mention them.
Sainsbury's. I'll speak in Asian if you want me to.
Ectoti, chapanche, sadad, no das. Yes, man.
Yes, man.
Can I sing to you?
You're trying to woo me now.
I'm going
to
woo you. Can I sing to you?
Go on then. Go on then.
Here we go, Bobby McFerrin.
Clear your throat.
Perdesi, janana hai.
Wow.
Mujhe choleke. Thank you.
Wow, that's really good.
Can I sing the rude version? Can I sing the rude version that I made up? Perdesi, janana hai. Mujhe chodeke.
Well, yeah, like...
Yeah, well, I think it's that a really filthy song.
I tell you what, you should be on X Factor. You'd get the golden vote. You really would.
I want the golden vote so much, man, but I want to...
You would. You want to get on there. Seriously, you want to get on there.
But, so you had nice fish fingers. I can't eat fish fingers. I'm allergic to them.
Are you?
Yes.
They're delicious.
I had one as a kid.
And you know what else? Sorry. You know what? Before I forget. You know what else I was thinking about? A fish finger sandwich.
Beautiful.
Is that a euphemism? They talk about, forum fish finger pie in the Penny Lane, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Fish and finger pie.
Tell you what's nice, Bob. A fish finger wrap. A little bit of,
Well, I was going to a fish finger party tonight when I...
No.
Okay.
A fish finger wrap with a little bit of sweet chili sauce on it.
You're so middle class, and no.
Oh, you know, I tell you one thing that
Why are we talking about Bobby's, the fact that Bobby's fallen out of love with his wife?
I haven't fallen in love with...
You've not fallen in love with your wife.
Listen, I'm here talking about what I fantasised about eating and what I did eat.
Yeah, and how you didn't want to eat the crap your wife was turning out every day because you're ashamed to be married to an Indian, you racist.
No, whoa, how is she going back to this?
I don't know, mate, but we're getting close to the nub, aren't we?
You're bringing it close to the nub, not me, my friend. But listen,
yes, sir.
One other thing that I can't get hold of, do you remember when you were at school and you used to have what we used to call a hedgehog cake? And they used to pour custard over it, so it was a bit like a cornflake cake.
Yeah.
A little dome. They used to pour custard over it, and it used to be rock hard, and you used to kind of break it with your spoon. I remember one of my mates at school, he hit it with his spoon so hard that we actually cracked the plastic plate underneath because we used to have the plates
what
with
was,
the
plates you parts mean. In them. What was the cake? Yeah. Was
I never had one
hedgehog,
of them.
Hedgehog cake.
We used to call it a hedgehog cake. It used to be really, really rock hard. You couldn't eat it as it was, but when you
so it had spikes coming out, did it?
Say again, mate.
Did it have
spikes? No.
Then why would you call it a hedgehog cake?
Chocolate cornflake cake.
It was chocolate. Yeah, it's like a chocolate kind of dome.
Cornflake cake.
You get tea cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like cornflake cake, but it's got like industrial epoxy strength glue or something.
you know
what I'm talking about now?
No, I don't. I do miss pink custard though.
Yes.
We never had that.
Oh, we never had that.
Pink custard right now would sort me.
And
out.
I haven't eaten semolina since I left school. Semolina with a squiggle of jam in it.
Wow. You know the pink custard? Did that taste like normal custard or did that have a slightly different flavour?
I think it tastes like normal custard. It wasn't strawberry flavour.
No, just colouring, wasn't it?
I tell you what, it's probably radioactive. They feed
Here's the thing.
Anything and everything.
You look at the number of kids that went to school in the 50s that are dead now, right? And you just got to ask yourself, what were they eating?
Yeah.
What were they eating? If they're dead now.
Even more so those in the 40s and 30s.
Yeah.
They had no chance, did they?
Well, it's getting better. Because there are more... Here's a statistic for you, Bob.
Go on.
There are more... Right, of the kids that ate school dinners in the 70s, there are more of them still alive than the kids that ate school dinners in the 40s.
Is that a serious statistic?
That is a fact.
Yep.
There are more kids from the 70s who ate school dinners in the 70s alive now than the kids who ate school dinners in the 40s. So it shows that we're going in the right direction with food health.
Well, you know, do you remember we used to have those crisps? Well, they were like chips.
I talked to my boys about fish and chips the other night,
We used to get them out of the vending machine after swimming. And a Capri Sun.
Yeah. We used to get them at Tuck Shop.
And the refreshers.
What?
Yes, man.
Are we talking about old tweets now?
Goodbye, Bob. 0344-499-1000 is the phone number. He's my favourite caller of the last 10 minutes.
What was his name, though?
No idea. Across the UK, online
and on DAB. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Is there anybody there?
Hi, mate.
Hello, who's this, please?
Hi, it's Jonathan.
Yes, can I help you?
Yeah, I really like the accent you did there about this Jasmine.
And your name is Jonathan,
is it?
Your name is Jonathan, is it?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Jonathan.
Of course it is. He's got a very deep voice.
Where are you calling from, Jonathan?
What?
Where are you calling from, Jonathan?
That's you.
Manchester.
Obviously.
Are you mad for it?
Huh?
Yeah. So you heard Catherine do...
No, I didn't.
You heard Jasmine in the studio earlier.
Yeah.
Would you like to speak to her, Jonathan?
Oh, yes, please, yeah.
Okay, Jasmine, if you come closer to the microphone, Jonathan is from Manchester. You may find it hard... to understand his Manchester accent, but me and Catherine, or Catherine can help. Away you go.
Hello, Jonathan. It is Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Is this a real Manchester accent I'm hearing from you?
Yeah.
Which part of Manchester do you come from?
Stockport.
Oh. Is it nice there, or is it a dump?
It's pretty nice, lady.
I could die. I can't breathe.
Where's the nearest place to go shopping when you're in Stockport?
I don't go shopping.
No? How do you survive? No. What do you eat?
My lady goes shopping for me. I'm sitting in front of the radio all day long.
A lady? His lady?
What's your lady called, Jonathan? She's very lucky.
Oh, yeah, she's very lucky.
And what is her name, please?
I'm not sure if I may say this on the radio.
What does it rhyme with?
It doesn't rhyme with anything. I've tried out everything, man.
Does that mean her name must be Orange?
Not really. Try again.
Because Orange doesn't rhyme with anything.
Well, there must be something.
No, there really isn't. I've tried. I've spent all my life researching this.
Oh, man.
No, I'm a lady.
Okay, Jonathan. Well, I hope that scratched an itch for you.
No, it doesn't.
Okay, thank you very much for your calls. Jonathan there.
Bit of cream on that.
Jonathan from Manchester. Hello, is there anybody there? We may have come to our first dead end, which is fine. Is there... Hello, can you hear me? There's no one there. Fine, we're there.
Oh, it's a very quiet person.
That's a good run we've had for an hour.
Yeah.
We've had some crack... Let me just try again, because I've just seen Sam put the phone down, so maybe... I'm cheating a little bit. Hello, is there anyone there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Ah, we got someone. Hello, who's this?
Hi, am I on live right now?
You are on live right now. Yes, madam.
Okay, madam. I think there might be a bit of a delay on the radio because I was listening to you live talking to somebody there from Manchester.
Don't listen. Yes, there is a delay on the radio.
Okay. I just want to find out what you were talking about. Just maybe 5 minutes ago for ye, but it is like maybe 60 seconds ago for me.
Okay.
You made a statistic that 60% of people that were alive in the 40s are now dead, and
no, it was
80% of people that were alive in the 70s are now alive.
No,
what
it was
that all about?
It was less and yet more specific than that.
It was a really interesting statistic, actually, which shows how far we have come in terms of eating healthily. And here's the statistic. I heard this the other day, and I checked it, and it's absolutely true. There are, of the children that went to school in the 70s and ate school dinners, more of them are alive today than the children that ate school dinners in the 40s.
Yeah, but that's logical, because...
isn't it, though?
Time has to be brought into the equation.
Well, it's purely looking at the food they were eating for school lunches.
That's like saying that people that were alive in the 1860s, more of them are alive. More people are alive in the 1960s than are alive in the 1860s.
Can you prove
you
that?
Have to be a little bit more specific in what you're saying.
Very
didn't really follow on with them statistics there.
It's a very specific statistic that more people that ate school dinners in the 70s are alive now than those that ate school dinners in the 40s. I don't have the statistics for the 1860s. I suspect that school dinners in those days weren't very good at all.
I don't think they even had school dinners.
I actually have a really good statistic for you guys. More people that ate slugs in 1992 are alive now than people that ate slugs in 1882.
And can I ask you where you got that research from?
I just made it up out of my head now.
Well, because, then it doesn't count as a statistic.
Imaginary magic radio, so, you know.
It doesn't count as a statistic. Are you really that dumb that you cannot see that food hygiene is improving dramatically? We are saving lives. You probably give a baby a turd sandwich. People like you make me sick.
I think dumbness really is related to whether people can speak and whether people can't speak.
Exactly. And I'm afraid, sir, that your dumb ability is at a level of 11.
If I'm dumb and I can't see, it would make me blind.
Blind people aren't dumb, I'm afraid. That is distasteful. We have some blind listeners to the show. So that is distasteful to mock the blind.
So if I'm dumb and I can't see, it means...
Again, you're mocking the blind. Why do you think it's acceptable to mock people that can't see? I don't see the humour in that. Yeah?
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
So, Thanksgiving, we think... We're not using Google tonight, guys. We are Google-free. I considered whether we... And I'm hoping you're the same at home. Catherine and I are not using Google. I would prefer it if you didn't. And I thought about switching off Twitter for tonight. But that's the collective hive mind, isn't it? That's the collective hive mind all working together, as long as you are not Googling it. And we've had loads of people, including David and Alistair, and loads of people have said Sam Cooke was murdered. He's on the list. Now, controversially, and I'm going to put it down, to murdered rock stars. We've got Biggie Smalls, Tupac Shakur, John Lennon, Brian Jones, Marvin Gaye, who we think was 50, I think 48. I think he was still in his 40s. Selena, Sam Cooke, load of people have said it, Kurt Cobain. Kurt. Hey, you know Kurt Cobain's cardigan sold recently? Do you know how much it sold for?
Go on.
Have a guess.
$1 million.
$250,000.
Gosh.
For Kurt Cobain's cardigan, because to me that's still recent. Of course it's not. He died 22, I remember exactly where I was, second year at university, so I would have been, he died 25 years ago. 25 years ago, that's probably why they were selling it, the 25th anniversary. Right. There you go. So he died 25 years ago. But to me it still feels very recent. I was listening to Nick Abbott, when he was on Virgin break the news about Kurt Cobain. But yeah, £250,000 for his cardigan, the one I think he wore on MTV Unplugged.
Right.
£250,000.
Which became a seminal session, didn't it?
Great sesh, guys. Great sesh. I never really got Nirvana.
No.
And I was supposed to, because they were, you know, talking to me, apparently, but I never really got them.
No, I had the tape. I think someone taped it for me.
I don't know the lyrics to the hit. Here's what I think the lyrics are.
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Here's what I think the lyrics are. Here we are now. Here we are now. Entertainers. Entertain us.
Mm-hmm.
Entertain us or entertainers?
I would say entertain us.
Here we are. I thought it was here we are now. Entertainers. It's something Lucy.
Really?
And there's Lucy. You can't blame us.
No, you're just making it up now.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Right, here's what I think it is.
Go on. Not allowed to Google it.
Here we are now, entertain us. I feel stupid.
Entertain us.
Yeah. I feel stupid and contagious.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, I mean.
It's nonsense.
That's why I didn't
get it. Nonsense. What does a what bubble loo a lot bamboo mean?
It nothing. Means a party's about to start.
There we go, yes. Here we are now, entertainers, and a stupid, and a janus. Yeah. How does the verse go in that song?
Dun, 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 dun.
Wow thing! Dun, 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 dun. You make my heart sing! Dun, dun, dun,
and then there was another the one they had that was, I'm so happy.
Isn't that the same song?
No, that went, the chorus for that one went, whoa! What? Which I actually preferred, I think.
I'm so happy, cause today is all I love.
No, I didn't really get Nirvana.
That's not bad impression.
Either, but you know what? I do really like Dave Grohl.
Okay, although the Foo Fighters are terrible.
My dad likes them.
Well, exactly.
He and my sister ended up in a mosh pit and his brogues got terribly stained. They were throwing bottles of orange juice around. Oh. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, apparently it was orange juice.
Okay, here's it, folks. We're doing murdered rock stars. We will put Kurt Cobain on that list unless someone can call in otherwise. Rock stars that had two careers. I mean, Dave Grohl, who'd have thought that Dave Grohl, the drummer in Nirvana, would go on to front one of the biggest and most tedious rock bands, mm-hmm. also one of the most successful of all time? Who'd
also,
have thunk that?
He's everyone's favourite. He's got amazing teeth.
Yeah, great
He's got
hair.
A great beard.
Yeah.
He's cool.
It's an awful band, though. I mean, we can do rock stars. Rock stars with two... Chris, let me just think
well,
for a second.
There's that fella, I don't know his name, but the fella that after the Pete Doherty band stopped, carried on and became something else.
Okay. Well,
that guy.
Going to need a little bit. We've been told the line in... Oh, that was it. The line in Smells Like Teen Spirit is not hello.
How low?
I said, hello, 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 hello. Here we
I
are
thought it was
now.
Hello, hello, how low.
Okay.
Is it? What is it? What are they saying?
I've got no idea.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, hello. I've got to just turn this down a minute. Hold on.
Yes, please.
I see it on the thing. Yeah, you were talking about Halloween and Guy Fawkes a little while ago.
Yes.
Well, I'm usually here, you know, when they come round knocking at the door, because I do the window up and everything.
Yeah.
But this year, I don't know why it happened this way, but I just said to my husband, look, I said, there's lots of sweets in the bag there, if the children, if they knock, you know. So when I was at work, I just phoned up to see how things were.
Yeah.
And I said, he said, there has been loads of kids coming tonight.
Yeah.
And yet when I got home, because I had my grandchildren here.
Yeah.
There was no one knocking at the door. It's the first time.
What time did you get home?
Not very late. Well, because their parents come with them. At 7:30
Half past 7, 8 o'clock, it's kind of winding up about 8 o'clock, I think.
Yeah, we went out about 6.
My husband said there was loads. You know, the little children with the parents and that.
And here's the thing. Yeah. I live where my street, there aren't any trick-or-treaters, and I'm working anyway, but when I lived with my family and stuff, there was a lot of it. Isn't it a joy to open the door, and you've got like 8, 9, and a 12-year-old all dressed up as a zombie and a witch and Dracula. Mum and Dad are at the end of the drive, and you open the door and you go, oh my goodness, you scared the life. Please take a handful of sweeties each, and please don't get. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, I like doing I've got this ghost that lights up from one of the home bargains. It was only a cheap thing, but it lit up in the window, and I had some black cats with lights in them.
Yeah.
And, it looked very pretty, and I had these spider lights I found in the loft, but
well
they were different colours.
Yeah.
And but the windows, they look ever so pretty.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, it's a bit of fun.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's me, I mean, I'm the biggest kid out of them all, really. But you know the old fireworks thing? When I was very young with my friend in London where we used to live, I had a bear and I put a black wig on him and we called it John Lennon. We never burnt it or anything like that, but people gave us, we used to get quite a lot of money.
For John Lennon?
We called it John Lennon. We're only young kids, about 10 and 9, something like that age range. We used to go out, you know, and it's dark. Anyway, we got a lot of money. And what we used to do is split it in the middle and go to the shops and get Christmas presents with it when we were little. We used to like going in Woolworths and all that sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But, they were lovely times, you know? Aww. Really good times they were.
Yeah. What year would you have been dressing up your teddy as John Lennon?
Oh, well, it would have been in the late 60s.
Beautiful.
You know, but, you know,
When John grew his hair long and shacked up with Yoko and went weird, as my mum would say.
Yeah.
Did you go off him a bit?
I didn't really. I wasn't really, like, taking much notice at that age. It's only because my sister, she was into all, you know, I could hear the music and all that. She's a bit older than me, my sister.
Yeah.
But I just remember, we just called him John Lennon for some reason because he had this long, because the men used to have long hair, didn't they? But it was good. It was in a little doll's pushchair, and I lived in flats then, and it was right near the station. So when people used to be coming out of work and that, we used to.
That used to be the place to do it, outside stations.
Well, there was a lot of, you know, in those days, there was lots
of
people
doing
penny for the guy, but
no one was doing penny for the Lennon.
No.
I bet you made a fortune.
A lot.
Yeah, I bet you made a fortune.
We did. We're very good like that. As I say, we didn't have fireworks out of it or anything.
No.
We just used to, like, little girls used to, like, go and buy them presents for the family, and that's the money we got, you know.
Brilliant.
But they were lovely times. And also, I can't wait to read the transcript book. It's going to be one of my Christmas presents for me. So I've got that to look forward to.
Oh, nice one, Susan. Well, I hope you enjoy it. It's a lot of silly nonsense, and you've helped out the Samaritan. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Brilliant. All right, Susan, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, Susan.
Penny for the Lennon. 03444991000. Rock stars with two careers. Jimmy has suggested Ozzy Osbourne. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about, well, okay.
But you meant like two phases of their musical career, right?
No, I meant two careers.
Okay.
So, I mean, he has, you could, right, it's Black Sabbath. I suppose you could kind of include his solo career, but it's more Black Sabbath.
And the reality TV.
And the Osbournes, yeah.
Yeah.
David Lee Roth, I'm not giving you that. Stevie Nicks, I'm not giving you that. I'm not, No, I tell you what, let's refine this. I don't mean they were in a band, then had a solo career. I would say going from Nirvana to the Foo Fighters is different from going from Nirvana to Dave Grohl, solo career.
All right, well, how about this one?
Yeah.
Paul Stanley had Kiss.
Yeah.
Then he went into musical theatre.
No, I'm not giving you that.
Why?
I just think
he didn't stay in it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm not having any of those. Pete has said, didn't Kurt Cobain kill himself? Don't think so, mate. The evidence is out there that proves you absolutely wrong. But we're not using Google, so I can't actually bring that evidence to the forefront of my mind. 0344-499-1000. Give us a call about anything you want. The Late Night Alternative with Kath and Ian on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, 0344-499-1000. Phone number. Let's go to Jackie. Good evening, Jackie.
Good evening, all. How are you all tonight?
We are all very well. Well, I think we're well. Catherine, are you well?
I'm fair to middling. I'm happy.
Amy, are you well?
I've got a cold, but I'm fine.
There we go. We've all got a few, you know, some grumbles. We've got some grumbles, but that's it. Just a few grumbles.
I like that saying, Kath, fair to middling. Kurt Cobain wasn't murdered. He's committed suicide by gunshot.
And your evidence for that is?
Because I read about it years ago, because he used to follow Nirvana with me. My son used to like them, so.
Without going into too much detail, because it's grim.
Yeah.
It was a shotgun, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How do you shoot yourself with a shotgun?
Well, I don't know how he did it, whether you put it under, whatever. Put it under your chin or...
Yeah, but how do you reach the old trig?
You would have to have arms like Mr. Tickle.
Well, that's allegedly then. But that's what I read them years ago. But
fake news.
Suicide.
Fake news.
There you go.
It's fake news. Fake news. Strong evidence that he was, someone was paid to murder him. Great film. Great film by Nick Brumfield, Kurt and Courtney, which I would thoroughly recommend to anyone.
I went to see a good film tonight, Dr. Sleep.
Is it any good? A sequel to The Shining?
Well, yeah. And I don't normally like Stephen King's books made into films. I don't particularly like
neither does
he. I went tonight with my son. And we really enjoyed it.
Okay.
It was good.
Was it scary, though?
It was a bit gory. I had my hand behind me hand in front of my face a few times, but, you know, it was...
I can't... Because gore's one thing, but I can't remember the last time I saw... And if anyone can recommend one, I saw a film that actually scared me. I don't necessarily mean jump scares, but a film... In fact, I can remember the last time. It was 20 years ago. It was 16 years ago, because I was doing Rise, and someone recommended it. And it was a film called Jeepers Creepers. And the first hour of Jeepers Creepers scared the life out of me. And then you work out what's going on, and suddenly I wasn't that scared anymore.
Is that Michael J. Fox?
No.
What was that?
That's The Frighteners.
Uh-huh.
That's a comedy.
Right.
Okay. You want to carry on, Catherine?
No.
Okay.
Just asking. I asked a question and say it was definitely him.
There you go. So we know now.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. All right. All right, yeah. Jackie. Nice one. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Cheers. Bye. Bye-bye. Kurt Cobain was murdered. We're saying that. I think that's...
Well, you're saying that. I'm not.
Pretty much established as a fact.
Is it? Pretty much is not a fact, mate.
Yeah, but it's pretty much a fact.
There are many unanswered questions.
If someone could tell me a film that would actually scare me, not necessarily gory, because gore we can all go not necessarily jump scares, but a film that will scare me, I'd love to know. 15, 16, 17 years since I've last been scared by a movie, and people go, oh, watch this. You should watch this. It'll really scare you. And you watch it go, it's rubbish, mate. It's rubbish. I want to watch a film on my own in my house in the dark with a candle. Candle burning. Midnight, the witching hour, a full moon.
It's very specific conditions.
Very specific conditions. And I want to be so scared. I sleep on the sofa. I can't even walk upstairs to my bedroom because I'm so scared. I want that. Andrew, what are you doing? Andrew says The Exorcist 3 is scary.
Oh, come on.
Oh, mate, do me a favour. The Exorcist 3? Come on, man. Not a chance. Catherine, what have you brought to this beautiful party of a show this evening? By the way, still taking your calls on murdered rock stars. I don't quite understand the phone-in of rock stars that have had a second career.
But he knows what it's not.
Yeah, I know what it's not, but I can't be any closer. Nelly, you're muted and reported to Twitter because I think you're drunk, Nelly. Put the booze down, buddy. And anything else you want to phone in about 03444991000, please.
All right. Here's a story about being...
Oh, we're not using Google. No Google.
Here's a story about being so sure you're right until it's quite obvious you're not.
Okay, yeah.
Owner Sophie Johnson posted on Facebook urging people in Preston Pans, Scotland to keep an eye out for a missing cat, Lentil, along with a lovely picture of her adorable wee Scorn.
Can I interrupt?
No.
Away you go.
After word got back to Sophie that little Lentil had been spotted at a new housing development looking really...
Who is Lentil? I wasn't listening.
Cat. Okay. Missing cat.
Oh, okay.
She appealed for her friends to head over and have a look as she was unable to get there herself. The couple went out to track down the feline and it didn't take long for them to message Sophie with the news she was desperate to hear. Capital letters, mate, we've effing got him! Alongside a picture of what they thought to be Lentil, sitting contentedly in the passenger seat of their car, ready to be reunited with his owner. A relieved Sophie replied to say she was shaking and couldn't believe it. Unfortunately for everyone involved, the cat Lauren and Charlie had buckled up in their car wasn't Lentil at all.
Ooh.
Before they could drive away and place the animal into the arms of a human it had never laid eyes on before, a neighbour ran out to tell the couple the cat had been living at the development for a year. Charlie broke the bad news to Sophie saying they were embarrassed having stole the wrong cat.
Oh, no.
And would continue the search. But the bizarre story, Ian, doesn't end there.
Okay, Catherine, continue then.
A post then appeared on a local Facebook group saying, someone just tried to steal our Rayleigh ragdoll cat. Luckily to our wonderful neighbours, it was prevented. We are aware of a missing cat who looks a little like ours and we're sorry for the owner's loss, but turning up to someone's home and trying to steal an animal is an appalling and cowardly act. When the post got back to Lauren, she wrote on Twitter, I mean, we didn't run about in effing balaclavas nor get wrestled to the ground while trying to abduct the cat. Some...
C word.
Some...
C word.
I'm guessing it's a four-starer.
Wowzers.
And before, they've always put an F.
Yeah.
Some went, that's not the right cat, by the way, and I let it oot, and we all laughed. Everyone lock up your cats. We're clearly very dangerous. After all that drama, Lentil is still missing, so please keep a lookout for him if you're in Preston Pans. Fancy that. Catnapping by accident.
I'm in big trouble.
Oh, no.
I've got three cats.
Yeah.
I've got three cats. And today I got a text. I'd responded to something on Facebook ages ago and I forgot about it. And then today I got a text from a very nice lady who said, I've got three pairs of kittens that are almost ready to be rehomed. Would you be in? Why don't you give me a call and we can chat about it? So I called her up.
And said, no, it's silly.
I was going to say, no, it's silly. And she told me about these girls and boys. And so I said, well, I'll come and have a look.
What could possibly go wrong with going and looking these things in the eye?
Went and had a look. Went to a very nice cat fosterer's house. And I went and had a look. And she said, got some bad news. One of the pairs has already been claimed. I went, okay. And so I went in thinking, I'm going to be so strong here. And I met this boy and this girl. Who were about 10 weeks old. And they said to me, please, can we come and live with you? Please. Here's the thing, Catherine. their mother, while she was pregnant, was left in a box, sealed up in a box outside of vets. Mm-hmm. She gave birth to 7 cats, kittens, baby cats, kittens. And she stopped feeding them all after 3 weeks. The other 5 didn't make it.
These
are the only 2.
You didn't tell me that.
I think I've thought that right. These 2 made it. But they had to, the lady who I met had to feed them with a bottle. And they've had cat flu. And they're smaller than they're supposed to be.
They've got massive ears.
They got huge ears. And they said, please, please love us. Please love us, mister.
Will you be our daddy?
Please, please love us, mister. And I said, young man, young lady, I can't. I can't. Why not, mister? I said, because I've got 2 stroppy girls, just over 1 year, and I've got a very old lady. We won't be any bother, mister. We promise. We've got big ears.
Oh.
And I went, if you're still available tomorrow, you can come and live with me.
Oh.
So I might be getting another pair of cats. Someone else is going to go and have a look. And I said to the woman, look, these are the 2 I really like. Someone else comes in. Someone kind of booked in before me. And I said, if they're still here tomorrow, I would love to have these girls, this boy and this girl. I haven't had a boy cat for years. Boy and this girl would love them to come and live with me. 5 cats. That is crossing a line. That is proper mad cat man whose house thinks of shit. And it stinks of it anyway. I've been woken up at 4 in the morning by a foul smelling turd in the cat litter tray.
Okay, you tell yourself it's that. I just think Amy might as well get the old lot now.
Don't tempt me. So I might get some more cats. Pop stars have had 2 careers.
Yeah.
Shane Ritchie has just suggested David Van Day from international.
And also Shane himself, as we know.
Shane himself, international pop star to hot dog vendor. Here's the thing: David Van Day has blocked me on Twitter.
Can't handle the truth, can he?
Well, I called him out for stealing Bucks Fizz from Bucks Fizz.
I'm surprised he didn't like
it. He didn't like it. And he popped me on Twitter. Oh, man alive. If you've been blocked by anybody famous on Twitter, please do let me know. Generally, I think most people deserve it. I've blocked so many people. I think most people deserve it because they go, oh, it's just a little bit of bants. And you look into it and they've called them a C or said that their music is rubbish. Or, you know, I get it. Mm. I get it. People don't need that in their timeline. But if you've ever been blocked by a celebrity, 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number.
And we can find out just why you're so objectionable.
So we've got rock stars that have been murdered. We've got pop stars that have had 2 careers. What have we been we've done an hour and a half. I have no idea. What should we do next? We've got plenty to talk about. Phones are dead, which is fine. Absolutely fine. I did have something I was going to talk about, and I can't think what it was. What should we do? What should we do? What should we do?
What were you thinking of talking about? Was it important?
I can't remember. I then went off on the cat tangent. It was something before.
It was something when you said, can I interrupt? And I said no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People were recommending horror films that were rubbish. Right. Okay. So, looking for a film that will genuinely scare me. Not necessarily horror films. Right. This guy. Where is it? Right. Okay. Maiden Blue says, watch Hereditary. I watched it. It's not scary. Actually, I found it a little bit dull.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. So that's not scary. This is the problem, right? Is you ask people, not everyone is as tough as me, and you ask people to recommend scary film. Hereditary, I thought was interesting, but it got a little bit boring. Exorcist 3, Maniac with Elijah Wood, The Uninvited, an old black and white proper ghost story. It'll be rubbish. If it's in black and white, it won't be scary. With respect. I'm not one of those that
to the olden days.
Yeah, I'm not knocking black and white films, right? I love black and white films. I love them. I love them. But a black and white film could not scare me. C'est impossible.
Have you seen Night of the Demon?
Yes, I saw it in the cinema.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great film. Robert Mitchum, yeah?
No.
A That's Night of the Hunter.
Night of the Hunter is an amazing film.
Saw that at the cinema.
That scared me.
Not scary. Creepy, and it's great. And it's if you've not seen... when he's walking, he's either walking up or down. I think he's down the stairs into the cellar. And you just see the shadow of his claws. Yeah. It's a great film. Great film. But it's not scary. Black and white film cannot be scary because you go... You're one step further removed. When you watch a colour film, you can sort of immerse yourself. But a black and white film, you're one step further removed because it's black and white.
Did you ever see Salem's Lot?
I did see Salem's Lot, and it killed me. It scared me as a kid. The bit where the kid comes up against the window. It scared me as a kid. Uh-huh. Terrible now. Really cheap.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
TV movie.
The beauty of those horror films... was the bits you didn't see. When they actually gave you a flash of what you were supposed to be scared of, you went, oh, right, I see. You know, as a modern young person, it wasn't convincing.
Becky says, scariest movies I watched are 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later. Not scary. Good films. Great films. Great romps. Not scary in the slightest. By the way, that story about stealing the cat is dedicated to Roger, who is, as we know, a cat thief.
Yeah.
Here we go. What Andrew is obsessed. Watch Exorcist 3, and if you're not genuinely scared, I will give a tenner to the charity of your choice. No, give the tenner to me for wasting 2 hours of my life. Don't give. Well, I hate all this. If you do that, I'll give a tenner to charity. No, give the tenner to me. You're wasting. That's my time. You're wasting.
Just give the money to charity. Cut out the middleman.
Let me see. IMDb, Exorcist 3. I bet it gets 5.7. It sounds like a 5.7 to me. Exorcist 3. 1990. 6.4. Good luck, mate. Good luck. Any other scary films? Talk radio gets so strange at night, and I bloody love it. Talk radio. Also, I expect half of your listeners are blocked by the incompetent James O'Brien at Ainley. No. James and I are friends. So if you're listening, thinking I'm going to slag him off like some of the other presenters here do, no, he's a mate of mine. And I think his show is brilliant. So stick that up, you Jaxie. Roger says, I'm blocked by the current Home Secretary and Kay Burley. I was rude to both. Okay, I'm blocked by Kay Burley, and I don't know why.
Didn't you retweet that thing that, you remember Scott Balcony said he was the mayor of Uxbridge?
Yeah.
Were you not involved in that in some way?
I retweeted... I don't know, did I?
I think you might have.
Oh, in that case,
taken a certain amount of delight in that, yeah.
Okay, guys, if you want to nip off and make a cup of tea, now's a great time. It's Chris. Good evening, Chris.
Evening, guys. How are you?
I'm fine. Did you go to the hospital the other day?
I did, yes.
Been thinking about your balls all weekend.
So have I.
I wasn't going to mention. Don't mention my medical conditions live on air, please.
Okay, Chris, come on, mate. You talked about it a couple of times. It's not as if I'm outing you as going to the hospital to have your balls checked.
Well, apparently, if it was anything seriously wrong, they would have contacted me the following day.
Okay.
So, apparently...
So you're fine?
They said to me, well, yeah. I don't get the results until...
That's a relief, isn't it?
Well, I'll have to wait for the results to see what... But, no, yeah, it can't be anything seriously
brilliant.
Wrong.
Brilliant. Well done.
So...
Are you glad you went?
Yes, and I'm glad I had the patience to stay there this time.
There you go, you see, perfect. Well done. I get why it's nervous to get your testicles checked. Of course, it's uncomfortable and it's strange and it's weird. But was it that bad?
No.
Perfect.
I've certainly had worse than. Christ.
Tough guy,
don't
huh?
Don't ask.
I don't want to know. Well, I'm glad I'm glad you went, Chris, and I'm glad that it looks like it's nothing serious. That's really, really good news, and there'll be a lot of listeners who'll be pleased to hear that.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. Now, regular listeners, we want your spooky stories tonight, guys, because who knows? If it's good enough, it might make it into print. Regular listeners to the show will know that when we are low on callers or content, he says, laughingly, we dig out Chat Its Fate, which was, did I get that for you as a Christmas present last year?
Yeah, last year's Christmas present. Best. I don't know how you're going to top that, to be honest.
Well, I'll get you another subscription for Chat Its Fate, probably. Best Christmas present ever?
Yeah.
Huh? What kind of stuff does it have in there?
Well, let me tell you about the edition that I have in my hand here. November 19, front cover. I mean, is always a treat.
Yes.
Gives you a little taster of what is within.
Yeah.
Get rich with the help of the dead. My wife was a gift from the fairies. You're going to die, mummy. And my son was right.
Whoa!
3 decades of hell because I summoned the devil.
Yep, you shouldn't mess with that stuff.
Sent by aliens to save the planet.
Oh.
I smell lilies, then death follows. And Samhain spells to make you shine.
This is, and we genuinely love this magazine, and we approach it with a bit of tongue-in-cheek from time to time. I some of the stories, though, I totally devour.
It's
I think
a
they're
joy.
Wonderful. I'm thrilled to say, and we've been promising this for weeks, Amanda Fleetstra is here, the editor of the
Chat Its
Fate.
Editor of Chat Its Fate.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank
we've
you.
Been talking about this for ages, and then I think there was something. Oh, everyone in your house had the lurgy, and then I think I had a week off, and then there were protests, and
it's almost as if the spirits are trying to keep us apart.
Someone doesn't want us. Someone doesn't want us to talk about this stuff. That's what's going on. So nice to meet you, Amanda, because we've been exchanging tweets and emails for ages. Give us a little bit of background. Your relationship with Chat Its Fate. How did you get involved with this?
I used to work on Chat, actually, which was this sort of, I don't know if you've seen Chat, it's just a women's weekly. And then they did the spin-off and I got moved across to work on Chat Its Fate. And somehow I've never really left.
So Chat, the kind of stories they have in Chat, have I got this right? My husband was a serial killer and I didn't know it. Or I ate my own leg to survive.
Yeah. That kind of thing.
That kind
Randy
of thing.
Grannies,
oh, hello. There we go. I didn't know it was a dating magazine. There must have been a meeting then in the Chat offices where someone went, Chat is going so well. It's going great. But I think we're missing out on the psychic and spiritual market. We're going to do a sister magazine that deals with the occult.
Yeah.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. But it did. So, yeah. That was before I started working.
Okay.
That was my predecessor, Mary. I think it was her idea, actually.
Right.
And she, I think she put the whole thing together. But they had a lot of spooky stories coming in. So they just decided to siphon it all off into a separate magazine.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
And I would like an honest answer.
Yes.
Do you believe in all that stuff?
Yes.
All of it?
Yes. I'm going to say I do.
Really?
Well, I have a slight reservation about aliens, but you know.
Oh, because aliens are the ones that I've
you do believe in.
I do. I've seen a UFO. I've seen a UFO. Me and my ex-wife saw a UFO about 12, 13 years ago.
Where was it?
It was up in the sky, surprisingly.
Well, yes, but
we lived in North London. I've told this story so many times, so I'll tell it briefly. We lived in North London, and we were in a first floor flat, and we stood out on this tiny little balcony. It was a Saturday evening, about 5 o'clock in the summer, very clear sky.
Yeah.
And one of us, my wife my ex-wife is a journalist. She's very, you know, straight down the line. And one of us said, wouldn't it be funny if we saw a UFO now? And we went, yeah, wouldn't it be funny? And literally 2 minutes later, this bright, sort of yellow light just went across the sky. It was daylight. Went across the sky in a straight line, and I tapped her and said, can you see that? She went, yeah, I can. Wasn't an aeroplane, wasn't one of those Chinese lanterns, wasn't anything like that. It went very fast in a completely straight line, and we just looked at it and went, oh my God. And I was telling my boys who are 7 and 9, I was telling them this the other day. I said, no, we don't believe you. I said, guys, go and ask your mum. You know she wouldn't lie about something like that. And it's funny hearing her talking about it after all these years. She went, kind of reluctantly said, yeah, it did happen, actually. What was it, mummy? I just don't know. So, yeah. I'm into that stuff.
Yeah. Well, weirdly, me and my husband also thought we saw one. We used to live in Ealing in London, and we were cycling along to, is it Northfield Park?
Yeah, yeah.
And Ian looked up, and was just like, what is that? And there was this silver thing just hanging over the park. But because it was just there, we thought, oh, well, it must just be, you know, a weather balloon or something. So to this day, no idea what that was. And I still don't massively believe in them, but
hang
you know.
On, you're supposed to be a hard-nosed, spooky journalist. Did you not try and then phone up the, like, who would you phone up? I was going to say the FBI. I don't think they'd be much help, Catherine. Who would you call in that?
I would possibly call...
The RAF?
Maybe RAF. British Aerospace.
British Airways. EasyJet.
The Met Office.
That's it.
I have a feeling that my son was one at the time. And right. Probably taking the basket in the front of Ian's bike and probably taking up all our attention. Aliens forgotten quite quickly.
I have to ask a personal question. You said your husband is called Ian. Can I ask how he's spelling that? Is he spelling
it? I-A-N.
Okay, that's a shame. Okay.
One idea.
Now we have to ask you to leave, I'm afraid. We have one of those guys. But you believe in ghosts and things?
Oh, yeah. I've been obsessed with this since I was a kid.
So really?
Yeah, yeah. I absolutely have always been fascinated with anything to do with magic and you know, ghosts.
Why?
I have no idea. My mum and dad are dentists. it's just one of those things. And my mum's like, she hates that kind of thing. Her favourite book is Swallows and Amazon, so she has no idea where any of this has come from.
Right, okay, well, let's put our cards on the table. Catherine don't believe nothing.
Well...
Come on.
No, here's the thing. When I was
We went on a ghost hunt once in a haunted pub, and it was so embarrassing. It was just like... Catherine became very sarcastic and...
Really?
Could call out... Blake was going, right, go on, guys, call out for the ghost. You just went, ghost! Nah, there's nothing here.
I never used to be like that. I think until I was about, probably about 25, I completely believed in everything.
Yeah.
But then it just, I guess it's kind of part of growing up. The magic drifts away. And then I got taken to see a psychic and she was obviously just a fraudster. And that was the last bit of magic snuffed out.
Well, I think that's part of it is growing up. You lose that spiritual connection with the magic world.
I've obviously just never grown up.
I was for a long time, when I was 20, I went on a crystal healing course.
Right.
Like, this really nice, you know, sort of mum's house. She was running this course and it was all middle-aged women. And me, this sort of 20-year-old thing, and I bought into that for a long time, and then I didn't. But I would say within the last 2 or 3 years, Catherine, I have rediscovered
your third eye.
I know, and I apologise for that. I was very drunk that night. It was not what I intended to be. No, I'm buying back into this. I think there is more than this physical world has to offer.
Yeah.
How do you get your stories? Is it all people writing in?
A lot of it is, yeah. I mean, I get a lot through social media. That's been really useful since, you know, Facebook and all of that.
So someone will tweet, I saw a ghost the other day. And
I'll taste it up. Yeah.
Wow.
But people obviously contact me directly as well with stories. So I get that a lot through social media as well. And I've got obviously some freelancers who are excellent who do various bits and pieces for us.
But
you get them.
If you've got a spooky story, if anything, 0344... 499-1000. We want to hear it. Put your headphones on, please, Amanda, the editor of Chat It's Fate. We've got Alan Caddick on the line. If it's too loud, there's a volume. If you follow that cable, it'll go to a little volume knob. Hello, Alan.
Hiya, Mark. Hi, Kath. Hi, Amanda.
Hiya.
Alan, have you ever seen a ghost?
I've seen Ghostbusters loads of times.
That's a movie.
Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah,
that's my favourite movie.
Is it?
Oh, I love Ghostbusters.
Who's your favourite Ghostbuster?
I'm going to say Venkman.
Peter? Why Peter?
He's funny.
Alan's furious with you. Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbusters, I tried to watch it with the kids. It's a bit inappropriate in some places.
I didn't realise when I was a kid just how predatory Peter Venkman is.
Yeah.
He's just always sniffing around. It's awful.
But I quite enjoyed the recent Ghostbusters. I thought that was...
Well, the one with Melissa McCarthy.
That's the one, Alan, yes.
I wasn't a fan of that.
Were you not? It was okay.
I preferred the original with Bill Murray, then I called Harold Ramis.
Those are some of the names. So you've never seen a ghost yourself or had any spooky encounters?
I did have a vision once.
Go on, what was your vision?
Of my nan.
Go on, tell us, go on.
She died in 2000. And I was looking my mum up, because she had to answer the call later. and the bins just moved.
And it was your nan moving the bins?
We thought my nan was blowing on the bin liner.
Your nan was blowing off on a bin liner?
No, she was blowing on the bin liner to make it move.
Would she have done that in life?
No. Oh.
So what made you think it was your nan then, Alan?
It was what I thought. It was my first thing that I thought of.
Did your mum leave the toilet door open?
No.
Okay. Wow. And how did it make... this is the important thing. How did it make you feel?
We were a bit spooked, but frankly, we had a Ghostbuster in our family at the time, which was our dad, and he narrowed it down to the heat from the radiator moving the bin liner.
Okay. You probably shouldn't have told us that last bit of the story.
Some say Ghostbuster, some say scientist. Yeah.
Amanda put her pen down going, this could be a... It was physics that did it. Thank you very much, Alan. I appreciate that, mate. And 0344 499 1000. We've got Amanda Fleetstra here, editor. Am I getting the name right?
Yeah, that's
perfect. Thank you. Editor of Chat It's Fate. If you want to give us a call, you can. If you want to phone up about other stuff, you know, you're more than welcome to. We carry on doing the nonsense, even though we've got a guest here for the first hour. 0344 499 1000. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000. Ian and Kath are pretty much political free zone. We might talk about before midnight while we can how Jacob Rees-Mogg should resign or be fired for his outrageous comments. But before we get anywhere near that, if you want to give us a call, I'd really like to hear your spooky stories. We had my kids came in once, and they would have been 6 and 8 at the time. And I said to them, if you want, you can come on the air and you can ask a question and we can put it out and see if people find it. And my 6-year-old had a question. Have you ever seen a ghost?
Good question.
It's a great question. And he was sat on the other side of it. It was a slightly smaller studio. He was sat there and he asked it, and people phoned in with actual ghost stories. And he started shaking and he started crying. And there was a story about a dog that was transparent.
No, they saw the outline of a cat. That's what it was. So the outline.
Yeah.
And he'd heard it as, well, what that suggested to him, instead of being the silhouette of a cat, he was thinking of an inside-out cat.
Yeah. And then he sat on my lap and was sobbing. I said, it's all right, son. I'll ask them. Yes, please, Amy. He said, I said, I'll ask them to stop telling the stories and they'll stop. He went, no. I want them to carry on. And he was terrified. Got so much trouble with his mum because he was having nightmares for weeks after about that bloody
inside
cat. About that cat. We were talking in the break about ghost hunters. Thanks to Alan's comment there about having a Ghostbuster in the family. We've been on one kind of, we did the show from a haunted pub.
I've been on a couple in my career.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Whereabouts?
We did one at the place where we used to work because there was some links with a murder in the area. And lots of talk for years about, you know, a haunted basement and stuff. So we had ghost hunters there once, I remember.
And did anything happen?
It was the same vibe again. For me, what I found is, and it may be that I've just been unlucky, but I've been around groups who seem to be, I don't know, sort of winding each other up. So one person would hear something and then the other person said, oh yeah, and I also heard a dog barking, did you hear that? And it was all suggestion. And what I would really like is, you know, some quiet, and to be, because sometimes the atmosphere of a place is, you can feel that, even someone like me who is skeptical, there is an atmosphere. But if it's just listening to, it's like the politics within a group, it's kind of off-putting.
Amanda, you were saying, Amanda's editor of Chat's Fate, you were saying that you've not been on a ghost.
I've been to a few seances and so
seances,
I haven't
right.
been on sort of one of those big kind of organised
kind
of things. But I've been to one at Oxford Castle.
Okay.
Did a seance there and one at Lumley
Castle. When you say a seance, here's one of the weird things, right? I don't really believe in seances.
Yeah.
But we're not allowed to do one on the air. It's against the broadcasting rules. Yeah, we looked into it. You're not allowed to. In the same way, you're not allowed to hypnotise someone live on the air. You're not allowed to do a seance.
And it's the same reason at the beginning of Most Haunted, it'll say this is for entertainment purposes only.
Right.
But it seems funny, you know, I have a couple of Ouija boards at home for whatever reason, for some reason. And it would be against the rules of radio for me to bring it in and get a glass or a planchette and go, right, everyone, we're going to do this and do it. Or I couldn't suggest now that we all hold hands and we summon the spirits.
I would never do a Ouija board.
Would you not?
So many Ouija board gone wrong stories in my career that there's no way I'm touching
them. Nothing happens. I've got one on this. A friend of mine, a mate of mine, Dan, who's an artist, made one for me based around a guy called Frank Sidebottom. And it's a stunning work of art. It's in my living room. But we did a show once, and I had this Ouija board with me, and I got it out, and I said, and I was about to do it, and I said, well, is there anyone in the room who's scared of this? Because if you are, we will stop. And this woman at the back went, I'd really rather that you didn't. I went, not a problem, it's gone. We got rid of it. But so what are some of the things that you've heard?
Well, actually, when I was a kid, I did a Ouija board with a friend of mine and her two brothers.
Oh, you were such a weird kid. I love it. I think I was really quite old, like you. Yeah.
And it was all really strange. I can't remember what message did come through, but she used to live in the most sinister place by an abandoned insane asylum.
What?
Amanda!
They kicked everyone out with the whole care in the community thing in Thatcher's time. So there was just this abandoned thing. We were there doing a seance, doing it with the Ouija board, and it was all went really weird. And the glass that we were using smashed, but literally smashed half in half.
Stop it.
And then a week later, her brother had a really bad accent. So I have no idea if they were connected, but in my head, that's always been, mate. And it was really bad. I've always connected them mentally. So for me, it's always been like something I would never go near, not after that. But
you
were using yours as a mouse mat.
I was using it as a mouse mat for a while. And I kept going to, like, porny witch sites. It was very sexywitches.com. So you genuinely buy most of the stuff that's in your magazine. You're not one of those cynical editors going, get me those goddamn ghost stories. You're believing
but
this.
I talk to all these people, and I know they believe it.
Yes. Right.
So
that's the thing, isn't it?
So, yeah. So, it's all in completely good faith.
Mm.
And they believe it. And, I take them at their word.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Good evening, Kev.
Good evening, sir. How are you? All right?
Very well, Kev. What have you got for us tonight?
I've got a couple of spooky stories.
Yes.
Makes me hair stand on end thinking about it.
Okay. Any chance you could turn your sat nav down a little bit, Kev? It's...
Oh, yeah. It's all right.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm on my way to a breakdown.
Okay.
Yeah, I was in the Royal Navy. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, sorry. We're just doing really, really bad jokes. You carry on.
All right. I was in the Navy, and I was in the Adriatic, got HMS Illustrious.
Yeah.
I haven't been on the ship that long. There's two stories to make Friday to death. And I needed a wee halfway through my watch.
Yes.
And so to the heads, the toilets, and I was having it, and I heard someone sniff behind me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, that's just, someone in the trap, doing a number two.
Okay.
Anyway, I finished there, put it all away, turned round, and there was just a wall behind me.
Ooh.
A bulkhead, frightening me to death. I went back in the ops room, white. And they would say, what's up with you? And I told them the story, and they all laughed at me. But the worst one is, the scariest one of them all, were again on HMS Illustrious, we're at the ammunitioning buoys. So you weren't alongside anywhere, you were out to sea in the harbour. But there's no one else about, no boats come there, because obviously put missiles and everything on the ship. And there's two gangways on the aircraft carrier. You have the ship's company one and the ceremonial one. And I was a quartermaster, and I was on the ceremonial gangway. Because we had no officers or gold or VIPs coming on board, and it was like midnight on the middle watch, so we're bored. But in the ship's company gangway,
yes,
they have all the good magazines and things that you can have a look at.
I don't even want to know what those magazines might be, you dirty so-and-so.
Oh, no, nothing like that. Men's health and things, etc., GQ and all that sort of stuff.
Big boat weekly.
I went down. I went at a Navy News, obviously. So I went down there to in the QM's caboose, you call it, like a desk, in there to have a rummage through his magazines. Anyway, I heard someone go, shh. You imagine someone like putting your mouth to the thing, shh. So I looked over, it's pitch black, there's no one there, we're at sea, sort of thing, anchored to a buoy. And I thought, oh, God, what was that? I thought it was one of the stokers, the engineers, doing his rounds, telling me to shore up. Anyway, but there was, like, the oil, big, the big 50-gallon oil cans, oil barrels.
Yes.
And I walked over to them, thinking he's hiding behind that. So if you're sat at your desk, imagine someone coming right up to your face and going shh, and you'll hear that and you'll see them. But that's what happened to me. Someone come right up to my face. It was cold anyway, so I went shh. I've never sprinted and run down the hangar of that ship in any as quick as in my life. It absolutely frightened. It's made me shake just thinking about it now. I've never seen a ghost.
Yeah.
But they're my two spooky things.
One has told you to shut up. And did you tell the rest of the people on the boat, or did you keep it to yourself?
No, I told everybody, obviously.
And did they have a similar experience?
When you're down the mess deck with a few tinnies, you get all the ghost stories now, like the white dog and things like that. But a lot of them are all like folklore or naval folklore, if you know what I mean. Spinning the dick, as they say.
Spinning the dick, did he say?
Delta India Tango.
Oh, the dick. Spinning the dick. I prefer spinning the dick, actually. But thank you, Kev, for that story. Thank you very much indeed. What does a story take, Amanda, to make it into Chat It's Fate? That's a great story from Kev. I'm guessing it's not quite enough. You need a bit more to get into your hallowed pages. What are you looking for?
Yeah, something a bit different. We get a lot of stories that are obviously people who've got people in spirit that are talking to them, sending signs. Got a lot of signs, lots of feathers from angels. So, but I mean, those are still lovely. But yeah, I guess because we're onto the hard stuff now. You know, we've done all of those.
You're done with the feathers. You're done with the angel. You're done with Nana sending some feathers on the anniversary of death. You want the hard stuff.
We want the hard stuff. A bit of Satanism, you know.
Look at her eyes.
She wants apparitions.
Glowing red.
Or demons. People like demons. But they do like all the angel stuff as well, so.
You would think that now in 2019, the demonic stuff would have died down because, you know, religion is being less and less subscribed to. But the demon seems to be persisting,
demons
right?
Opening.
Exactly. The demon thing seems to persist.
Yeah, they're really popular. People love a demon and an entity. Although I actually, if anyone's got an entity story, I would love an entity. I haven't had one of those for ages. We did a story I mentioned before.
Succubus.
Yeah.
That's, you want a good succubus?
That would be fabulous. And also I'd love a curse. Oh. If somebody has a really good curse story, that would be amazing.
What's the difference between an entity and a ghost?
An entity possesses part of you, but it's not a person generally. It's a sort of untangible spirit.
Like a dark thing.
It is kind of demonic, vaguely.
Let's stop beating around the bush. There's only one reason we got you in here. Catherine's got a big crush on Roy DeLune.
Oh my God.
This is the only reason you're here. We've done the chat. We've done the plugging. She wants Roy DeLune's phone number.
Roy DeLune. I'm obsessed with him.
Now, just remind us the listener what Roy does. He's got an amazing look.
Yes.
A very distinct look.
He's kind of part Robert Smith from The Cure, part Noel Fielding. Right? Okay.
Good looking guy.
He's a renowned dream analyst and psychic phenomena guru with over 20 years experience. I mean, for example, all right, let's just read this one out. This is from November 2019. This is the first one. A fishy tale. Dear Roy, spell R-O-I, by the way.
Of course.
I had a weird dream in which my two goldfish had died and I had to remove them from the fish tank. Only when I did, I found they had tiny cat's heads. Don't laugh, this is a dream.
Sorry.
And they had really bright staring eyes too. That's from Isabella Charlesworth, 31, from London. Dear Isabella, goldfish symbolise wealth and success, happy adventuring or emotional insights. The cat's heads could mean you're in a situation where your own feminine, emotional, sexual or independent spirit is under threat in some way. But you can see the threat clearly and you're not under any illusion about this. You've got this. So, you know, he's given her solid advice.
Wise advice.
And he gets paid for this, does he?
Yes.
Wow, he draws a wage for this.
Roy, what does he sound like, Roy DeLune?
I've met him at a party once, but I can't really remember.
Is he southern or is he northern?
I don't know. We mainly communicate over email. He's in America at the moment.
Telepathic.
Ooh,
I would love to know what he sounds like.
And how do you find... Was Roy there when you came on board?
Yeah, I inherited Roy.
You inherited Roy.
Yeah.
And are those letters real? Come on now.
I think so. I mean, he sources them himself. But I think he gets them because he's on tour a lot. So, because quite a few of them are from America, which is where he's touring at the moment.
Right.
So I think they are people that...
So he does live shows?
Yeah, he does live shows.
Wow. And listen, our tongue is slightly in our cheek here. But I've got a lot of respect for so many of these people. And Roy has provided us with some great entertainment. He's on tour, Catherine. We could go and see a
Roy... I'm not going to follow him to America, but if he comes over here, I'll be there.
We'll go and see a Roy DeLune.
I'd love to.
Show, that would be fantastic. Do you get... I've got a suspect we might have a phone call. A couple of names on it. They're all good people, don't worry. But I suspect one of these phone calls is going to poo-poo you.
Okay.
And what you do... Do you get a lot of emails or tweets or... Do people get in touch and say, what is this crap that you are banging on about?
You get a few people taking the piss. Can I say that?
You can say taking the piss.
On Facebook. Yeah. But generally, the people who contact us are interested in the subject.
Well, let's see where this goes then. Good evening, Ollie.
Hello, everybody.
Ollie has a very scientific mind.
That's fine. I'm married to a physics person.
No.
So, yeah.
Are you really?
Yep.
Wow. Here we go. Here we go, Ollie. Argue with that.
Well, I wasn't come to argue. I was come to contribute.
Okay, go on.
But does Chat It's Fate give out money for exclusive ghost stories?
What's the seller's story?
Sometimes, yes.
I want $25,000 for my story.
Drop me an email.
Oh.
Well, hang on a minute.
Can I save it for that?
Give us a little sniff of the story, and I'll tell you what it's worth financially.
I could be possessed by an entity.
Oh, right.
Wow.
You're going to angle yourself. You're going to become entity bait. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I think I have been, but there might be a scientific reason for it. But I would like to give you my story.
Brilliant. Don't just phone up to broker a deal, Ollie. It's not how this works. Tell us a story. If it's good enough, Amanda will put you in her excellent magazine, but I suspect she probably won't because already it sounds like crap.
When I was 14, I was very sleepy. And I woke from my sleepy state to find a shadow on the wall. And then I woke up and noticed the shadow moved.
Can I ask you not to tell the story, but try and get rid of that sarcastic tone?
Oh, sorry.
Didn't do you any favours.
Put the drama in. People like the drama. It's like for the money.
I think he's going for an eldritch voice.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. Here we go.
And when I noticed it didn't move with me. Yeah. It moved towards me into my body.
Did you feel any changes afterwards?
I felt really calm afterwards, actually.
Oh, a positive entity.
Which part of your body did it enter?
my midsection.
Oh.
Your belly button.
Or lower.
Maybe. But I would like to add some science now.
Okay.
I was deeply anorexic at the time and might have been seeing the whole thing.
Right.
Buzzkill, Ollie. Thanks. Jeez.
He's just ripped up a check.
And it was for $25,000, Ollie.
Oh, no.
Unlucky. Listen, because Ollie phones the show a lot, and I've become friends with him off air, and we play video games together. You've always struck me as quite a fact-based person. Are you telling me now that you kind of buy into this stuff?
I think all the time I knew it was anorexic, but I was... I was spiritual at one point in time. I was, like, very religious, because I went to a religious school.
Wow.
And then I went the other way.
You went Satanist?
Well...
That's the other way.
Scientist,
oh, okay. That's the midway. Right. The midway.
Yeah. How does the marriage work with a science person?
Well, that's
a very personal question.
That's a great question. How does your marriage work? Because mine didn't.
We get on surprisingly well.
Yeah,
we just don't talk ghosts or physics. It's fine.
Really?
No, we do a bit. Not physics, because that's really boring.
Physics is... Well, here's the thing. It's possible that some physics can explain some psychic phenomena, and vice versa. There is a kind of connection.
Yeah.
And also, I heard that... I was listening to a show on here, on this station, and David Baddiel was on, and he's written a play where a physicist is kind of forced to admit, using maths, that actually there is a chance that God could exist. It's a tiny chance, or that miracles could happen. It's a tiny chance. Stay there, Ollie, don't worry. But shut up. It's a tiny chance, but mathematically a miracle could... Please be quiet, Ollie. I'm talking to the guests.
Sorry.
Thank you. Unbelievable. Mathematically a miracle could happen.
The check is working out.
Right, I'm cutting you off. Goodbye. And David Baddiel said that he spoke to Brian, he spoke to a physicist about all of this, and that there are huge parts of physics that you kind of just have to believe in. There's no real evidence for it. It's just a theory. You just have to believe in it in the same way you have to believe in God, or you can believe in ghosts and things like that.
Right, so there's an element of faith required.
There's an element of faith in it, because you just cannot explain this theory. You know, there is no evidence, tangible evidence, that this theory works. I think it's quantum physics or something, string theory or something.
Yeah, because that you can get to time travel through that as well, can't you?
Yeah. So he doesn't buy ghosts, your husband? He's not...
Actually... Well, he doesn't, but then we do live in a haunted house, so he has had a ghostly experience that he can't find a scientific reason
for.
What
happened in your house?
I was out with my son, up at the yard with my horse, and he was putting our daughter to bed. She was about 7 at the time, so this must have been... Oh, no, she was a bit younger, actually. But, yeah, so he was putting her to bed in her bedroom. He was on his own. He heard what he thought was me come in through the front door, walk up the stairs, and then knock on her bedroom door, which he thought was odd, because why would I knock on her door? I mean, he turned around and said, come in. Nobody there. And I got back about 10 minutes later, and he was completely freaked out. And he says, you know, being a science person, he just can't explain it, but he thinks there must be a rational explanation for it.
I love it. I love it. What is, we haven't got the December issue
yet. No.
Not yet.
Should arrive around the 15th.
Do we know, are you allowed to tease what might be coming? Oh, you don't know, do you? I've put you on the spot.
There's January. Is it December?
I'm on November. December,
yeah, December's out now.
Oh, maybe your subscription's ended. That is a possibility. That is a distinct possibility. See, I thought we only signed you up for 6 months, but we got a year's worth.
Spooky.
So what?
So yeah, we've got Angels, this one. What else have we got in there? I generally like a balance of angels and demons.
Yeah. Oh, good and evil. You've got to get the 50-50.
You've got to, don't you?
Yeah.
I think, you know, my readers are about 50-50 on the sort of happy, fluffy unicorns and the hands coming out of graves.
Yeah.
So I like to get a balance between the two. So, yeah, so I think I can't actually remember.
I like
I'm
you.
I'm on January now. I've almost finished January, so.
I like you a lot, because I wasn't sure. I kind of expected a Stevie Nicks kind of slightly... You know, flowery skirts and you know what, that kind of vibe. And you've come in and you're straight down the line. You're very sensible and very, you know, matter of fact and with it. And I, you know what I was expecting, Catherine, a kind of.
To waft in smelling of
joss sticks. That was it. I was expecting a witch to waft in smelling of joss sticks. I don't know where these calls are going to go. Let's try Gary first. Good evening, Gary.
Hello, mate.
Hello, Gary. What you got for us?
Backstory or just want the exorcism bit?
Wow.
That all sounds good.
Hello? Let's give us whatever you want to give us, Gary. This sounds like gold, mate.
Hello?
Gary?
Oh, no, I want the exorcism story now.
Gary?
Come back.
I'm here.
Yeah, what happened?
It's a long story. I've got my phone. I'm going to pull over. Wait there.
All right, well, come to you in a minute, Gary. God, this is, I think that's a phone call from beyond the grave itself. Tyrell, how am I pronouncing your name?
It's Tyrell.
Tyrell, okay, there we go, Tyrell. What have you got for us tonight?
Hi, Ian, hi, Kath.
Hi.
It's the first time I've ever rung a radio station, so you'll just have to excuse me if I'm a bit nervous.
Okay.
I love your show. I've been listening to it for a couple of months, and I'm hooked every night now. I had a paranormal experience when I was 12, and I was at boarding school. We used to watch movies up at the school chapel, which was detached from the main building. And after we'd watched a film one night, we were ushering all the younger kids into their dormitories. And as I went down into the main building, I could see a light downstairs where we used to have an old school notice board.
Yes.
And we had an old school notice board and the new school notice board were at opposite 90 degree angles to each other. And when I looked over the staircase, I could see a boy reading off the notice board, off the old notice board, but there was nothing on it.
Yes.
So I shouted down to him and told him to go to bed, and he just ignored me. So I went down the spiral staircase to shout him again to tell him to go to bed. And as I got closer to him, I just got a really strange feeling. I got very, very cold, and I started to feel upset. So I went a little bit closer. I was sort of drawn to him. And then he turned round and his eye sockets were hollow. There was nothing there.
That is terrifying.
But he looked at me, he looked through me, and he just smiled. Well, I ran screaming upstairs.
Yes.
Shouted the other prefect, and we charged through all the dormitories because we thought somebody was playing a joke.
Yes, I know that feeling, yes.
And all the other kids were in bed. There was nobody out of their bed. Anyway, the next day, I went to one of the senior teachers in the school who'd been there the longest, and I asked him, has there ever been a ghost experience at the school? So he asked me what had happened, and I told him, and he went very quiet. And then he spoke to me about a boy who was at the school in the 1930s, and the boy used to chew the buttons off his rugby shirt. And what had happened was a button had got lodged in his throat. And because the button couldn't be picked up by anybody, you know, it couldn't be seen because it had lodged quite low down, he gradually became very ill and he died.
Yeah.
And the teacher took me into the school grounds. And at the far end of the school grounds is about 70, 80 acres of school grounds. At the far end of the school ground in the woods was a memorial stone to this boy, dated up until the year that he died. And everything, the old notice board, which mm-hmm. hadn't been used for years,
wow.
Everything sort of fitted into place. And ever since then, I've been able to detect spirits.
Wow.
Wow.
So I can go into buildings and sense whether or not there is a spirit living within that
wow.
area.
Now this, Amanda, this is a great story.
Yeah.
Now, supposing you'd met Tyrell and he told you this story,
yeah.
would you just take him at face value? Would you? I mean, there's no way you can kind of fact check this, is there?
He obviously means it.
Yeah, yeah, know? He's telling it in a very convincing way.
That's a brilliant
story.
Well,
I mean, I can give you the name of the school, you see, for, you know, it could be sort of cross-referenced yeah. from that. The school's actually closed down now.
Okay.
But the
so you now have, you now would say that what you have what some people might call the gift?
I can hear spirits. They do try and talk to me. But I seem to have a bit of a blockage because whenever I try to converse with any of them, I have difficulty crossing the plane. So although they can
okay.
shout my name or say hello or cough or walk through me or even their very presence in the building that I'm in, or I can go into a building and say, there's a presence here, but I can't seem to be able to take it any further.
Okay.
I think that's what most people, I mean, realistically, they're ghosts, aren't they? If they could communicate fully, they'd yeah. be doing that, but they can't.
Now, that's left me uncomfortable, and that's left Catherine smirking.
No, not smirking. That's not fair. I'm not smirking.
No, I
was trying to work out how...
Here's the thing. Sometimes we get a lot of prank callers, Amanda, so I'm yeah. always waiting for the punchline.
I was waiting for the punchline.
I'm always waiting for the gag.
Didn't quite understand
no
why
there.
He had hollow eyes. Dude, I'm honest.
He's eating buttons, isn't it?
He's just dead.
He's just dead?
They don't look good.
Yeah, that was the bit where I kind of waited for the punchline that something was going to happen. Like, but it didn't come.
All right,
I found it fascinating. And obviously, Tyrell believed what
Tyrell.
He was saying.
Thank you. Let's go to Gary. I want to hear Gary's exorcism before we have a quick break. Go on, Gary.
Do you want a bit of a backstory, or do you want me to just go straight into it?
Well, I whatever works best.
Well, I'll give you a quick backstory. I was just taking up photography, and a friend of mine asked me if I wanted some work, and like I said, well, what is it? You know, I
need to know exactly what it is. So she goes, well, just go and meet him. So I went to meet this guy, right, and he wanted an aura photographer.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what an aura is?
I know what an aura is. It's the energy that surrounds us.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, yeah. And we've all got one. And he had this machine and this camera. And, you know, it took photographs of your aura. He just wanted someone to man it, really. It's not like you need a degree in photography or anything to do it. So anyway, I goes, yeah, whatever, he's going to pay me. And so I started working with him. We'd go to all these psychic fairs. He'd make a packet of money doing these 50 quid a time, do you know what I mean? And he'd read the photograph. Anyway, right, this guy used to make money hand over fist. I couldn't believe how much money he was making from his psychic powers. One day, we went to this woman's house, and this is the sort of exorcism bit. She was having a problem with a friend of hers who was giving her really bad energy and sucking her dry, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, psychic vampire type person.
Yes.
And she wanted a shot of her. So me and his name was Vince, went round to her house. We're in her kitchen.
Gary and Vince.
Quite a big kitchen. What?
Gary and Vince doing an exorcism, yes.
That's...
I like it. It's a good team. I'd watch that.
Do you know, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. Go on.
Anyway, so we're in the kitchen, right? He's got a chair, he's put it in the middle of the kitchen, and he sat her down, right? And he's got out this bundle of twigs, which I understand is sage now, and it's all, you know, wrapped up. And he's lit it, and it's smoking. And he's, I'm not joking, he's walking around her, and he's doing like a Native American... around
absolutely
her,
spot
right?
on impression, yeah.
Right? I'm laughing because it's hysterical, but this is true, right? So anyway, he's walking around it, I'm watching thinking, this is barking, man, what's the matter with me? What am I doing here? Do you know what I mean? I'm doing this for money.
Yeah.
Anyway, so anyway, he's kind of stopped and he's held it at her chest in front of her, right? And Vince has turned around to me and he said, can you hold this here for a minute? So I was like, yeah, whatever. I've grabbed it. I didn't move it. I just held it in the same position that he'd had it in. And all of a sudden, I had this bolt of energy go through my hand, through my wrist, all the way up my arm, and bashed me in the chest. Whatever it was, walloped straight into me. Scared the bejesus out of me. Honestly, I couldn't believe it.
Is it still in there?
Sorry?
Is it still in there?
You tell me, love.
What a bolt of energy. I love it.
I don't know if it was like his energy or the bad energy that she was expelling. I imagine it was his energy rather than hers.
Yeah.
Because otherwise...
But you felt it. You physically...
I absolutely felt it. Yeah, it was like electric, honestly. This was like 25, 30 years ago. Couldn't believe it. Honestly, right, listen. And beforehand, right,
there we go.
I used to be like, it's all a load of mumbo jumbo, what a load of nonsense. But working with Vince for that length of time, I could see things happening and I couldn't explain them. I was listening to him giving readings and honestly, it was like, this couldn't be primed for my benefit. So I don't know where he was getting it from.
You sound like a very sensible, down-to-earth geezer, wallop, you know. So Nanda, when you hear something like this, I believe Gary's story.
Yeah, I'm thinking get Vince in the mouth.
What I'm saying happened to me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it was a spirit or
that's
whatever. I'm
just
saying that's what happened to me.
Yeah.
Right? As I say, I'm still a bit sceptic. My mum, when she was a kid, she said she saw a ghost and it was lying on the road. I don't know, do you know what I mean? It's like, that's what she used to say. But then again, in 1977, we got burgled, right? And this is in Slough, just up the road from Britwell, where you come from,
Ian. I used to live in Britwell,
I used to live in Rowan Way on the estate there. Do you know that one?
I do know. I was a month away.
Not the Farnham Road.
Yes.
I used to live there. Yes. Anyway, we got burgled. And my mum suspected my auntie's husband of birdiness. So she went to a seance,
right?
This is like a little Italian peasant woman.
Yes.
Who went to a seance in 1977, right? I'll tell you why I remember it was 1977, because it was just after Elvis had died, and Elvis...
The show finishes at 1 o'clock, Gary, just to flag that up.
Well, I haven't even known yet. I've still got half an hour drive. But yeah, Elvis, it wasn't Elvis, but it was somebody about talking
what
about Elvis.
What happened at the seance?
That was it. It's oh. Something to do with Elvis.
Okay, oh, right, yeah. Yes, go on.
They did describe the person who burgled the house. Yeah. And he did look a bit like, he did sound like my auntie's husband, my stroke uncle-in-law.
And whatever. was it him?
Don't know.
Great story, Gary. Great story.
I
would have ended with the wallet, the bolt of energy in the chest. But that's the thing. We'll take one more call. Let's put those two breaks together so we can finish a little bit early. We'll speak to Stuart in a second. Chris and Alistair, we won't have time for you this hour, but we will speak to you in the next hour. Stuart, I'll come to you. But that's the thing. I believe Gary's story.
Yeah, I believe him.
Yeah. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he imagined it, but I believe that he believes that happened. And that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all you can take away
from
that. Have you had any stories that have been too scary to put in?
Nothing that's been too scary. No.
You're quite warped. You've got a sick
I'm
side.
I'm very warped. So
you put it in there. I've got to ask.
Yeah.
The haunted arse.
Yes.
You mentioned this on an email.
Yeah.
What is the story about haunted arse?
So, it was a few years ago, and the story came through a freelance, but I did the read back where you ring the person and read their story back to them to check they're all happy with it. And, he was a young guy, quite good looking, about 25, I think. And he claimed that he heard, when he farted, he heard a satanic voice saying his name. He said it very sincerely as well.
Gosh, that explains you. There's also a sulfur smell.
Give me that.
Wow.
And he had himself exorcised.
Well, where'd they put that sage?
Wowzers. There's a story.
The thing is, though, if you are the devil, you're going to do something like that because no one will believe them.
Yeah, exactly.
Apart from me. Almost no one will believe them.
Golly gosh. Isn't that amazing? Say we've had a couple of people from who've been featured in the magazine come on, and they've been so delightful, haven't they? So really delightful. I'm struggling to remember the first person
one.
That we...
Was it a witch-based thing?
Could have been a witch-based thing. I remember the young woman with the tea shop and her husband who'd been poorly.
Yes.
But I can't remember what the other one was, but they were very delightful.
And here's the thing. I don't disbelieve the people we've spoken to. I have spoken to some people who I don't believe.
Yeah.
But the people we've spoken to recently, and I have spoken to people in my past, you know, as a reporter, and I believe that that's what happened to them, right? Just because that sort of thing hasn't happened to me doesn't mean it's not possible.
We've had some good calls. Should we risk one more call before we let Amanda out, we unlock the door and let her go? Let's try Stuart. Good evening, Stuart.
Hello, Ian. Sorry, I've been giggling away in the background there. My story's not as good as the arse story, I don't think, but...
but which story anyway. Is?
Well, go on. What have we got, Stuart?
So, basically, back in school, went into sports, and I was obsessed with my pulse, okay, so, you know, getting it as low as possible, and I remember sitting in my lounge with my fingers on my artery counting, and I got down to 34 per minute, which is really, really low.
My mum
was in the lounge, my brother was in the lounge, and then all of a sudden I was looking from above. I left my body. Basically. I don't know how long this lasted, but I soon got snapped back. And my mum and my brother were looking at me, worried. Now, however I looked when I was doing that, I have no idea, but it scared the heck out of me. And I stopped delving into getting my pulse as low as possible.
How did you make your pulse as low as possible? Was it like breathing?
Breathing exercises. Just sat down, legs crossed. I guess you'd call it meditation, but
so,
I was just...
So tempted,
you know,
to ask you to do it now, but I won't.
Oh, honestly, it's...
It scared you, didn't it?
It did scare me, but I, you know, it's just...
What do you think happened?
I have no idea. Part of me thinks, did I actually... die. I was so, my pulse is so low, but I don't know.
And have you spoken, how old were you when you did this?
14, 15.
And have you spoken to your mum, you know, more recently about it? Remember that time?
No, I've never told her that I saw from above. I literally, I was looking down.
Is your mum still with us?
Yeah.
Could you have that conversation with her now? Do you think she'd remember?
I doubt she would remember.
Right.
She's a bit, you know, I don't think so. I don't know if okay. My brother would either. You know, I mean, my brother's 3 years older than me, but they both were looking at me and asked me if I was okay.
God, I have a chat with your brother. Say, do you remember that time when it looked like I passed down?
Yeah.
And if he remembers it, say, look, this sounds crazy, but this is what was going on for me.
Yeah.
Stuart, thank you for that. I really appreciate it. I love the way a man, you just sit there nodding very sagely hearing these stories.
I'm slightly jealous of his out-of-body experience. I'd love one.
I bought a book when I went to university. I bought a book on how to astral project.
Did you?
And I couldn't do it.
No.
I couldn't do it. Because I was into hypnotism. I learned hypnotism. And this, at the time, I don't see it as much such now, this astral projection looked like the next kind of step forward, but I couldn't do it. There's all these tricks about you go to bed thirsty and you put a glass of water in the kitchen and I would just wake up and go and get the glass of water, so it didn't happen.
No.
You've never had anything?
I can lucid dream sometimes, you know, when you control your dreams.
Yeah.
But I've never astrally projected. That would be amazing. What? I've done quite a lot of these things. I've done a bit of, you know, shamanic stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all fascinating, and stuff does happen, so, yeah, it's great.
What do you do in your lucid dreams? Because I have had them a few times, and then I just do really boring
things. Yeah, so do I, really dull things. Like, mainly I'm like, wow, I'm lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
Get me.
Yeah, that's it. You ever had a lucid dream?
Yeah, where you recognise that you're dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And then what tends to happen is you just control it so things stop being nuts.
and then you're flying, and then you're like, actually, I can just stop now. And then you're like, oh, I can't do that now.
Wow.
That was a good bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so the January issue you're compiling now.
Yeah, just finishing
give us
that
give
off
us a
now.
Headline from that. What can we expect? I mean, you'll hear it on this show at some point.
A rapist goes pinch my bum. And we've got that's our lead story.
On that bombshell. Amanda, it's so nice to meet you.
Thank you
so much for coming in, and
I
appreciate your patience at sorting this out.
And thank you for chatting. It's great because it's a joy.
It's so good, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm so
it's
pleased to hear that.
We ordered it online. You got your subscription online. You can get it in like Smiths and your usual.
Yep, you can buy it from Lidl, Asda.
And it's just in the sort of, I hate to say this in a, I don't mean it to sound demeaning, what we might call in the olden days the sort of women's section.
It's in the, generally with the weeklies.
Okay. So, Amanda Fleetstreet, it's so nice to meet
you.
Keep doing the good work. Send our love to Roy DeLune. We will carry on with your phone calls. Amanda's going, but I'm more than happy to carry on taking your spooky phone calls. Or, you know, we'll do the usual nonsense. 0344. I'm so late for the news.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.